Thank you so much. I should say that, as we said the last Sunday, we are all members of one household here today. So please don't be anxious about that. And I am very grateful to Katie, Susie and Lizzie for being prepared to help us out here. Thank you so much. And also to Paul Scott, who is in the master seat at home, setting everything up for us. So thank you, Paul. I do hope you will join us on Sunday morning for our Easter Day service at 10:30. Charlie Baines is going to be leading that morning, and I'll be bringing God's Word. So let me just screen share with you. You can always tell I've got that when I've got that intense look on my face. I'm trying to concentrate to get that done. So here we go. We all know what this is. I hope you can see it back at home. Here is a picture of the microscopic terror that has disrupted our lives, that has brought illness and death with it, not to mention social disruption and financial hardship. It is called coronavirus. We know that, and we all probably know that now, that it's called that because corona is Latin for crown, and it is named for those little crown-like spikes on its surface. And that reminds me that in the 14th century, when the plague, the Black Death, as it was called then, carried away half the population of England, that in many paintings and depictions of the time, death was pictured as a skeleton wearing a crown and was referred to often as King Death. It certainly looked then as if death was reigning. And maybe it feels like that for us today in this world, as this tiny crown-wearing tyrant stalks our world. And this brings to mind another crown this morning. We read about this crown in Mark's Gospel. Let's just have a look at a couple of verses there. Mark 15, verse 17 and 18. The soldiers put a purple robe on Jesus and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Now, of course, they were mocking Jesus. They were mocking him for claiming to be the King of the Jews. But the crown of thorns would also have added considerably to Jesus's pain as it pushed down. It would have been pushed firmly on his head, and the long thorns would pierce his skin and would penetrate into the two major nerve branches on the sides and the top of the head. And that pain would have then tracked down around Jesus's face. And it's a pain that has been described as being like knife-like stabs or jabs with a red-hot poker. Once that initial damage had been occurred to those nerves, then any small movement of the head, any twitch of the face, any talking, any light touches, even a draft of air over the face would precipitate fresh new waves of pain. Every shove of a soldier, every stumble of Jesus's feet, bringing a throbbing bolt of agony. Some people think that as the injuries to Jesus's body atone for the sins of the body, so the injuries due to the crown of thorns atone for the sins of the mind. Well, I think that's probably going a lot further than Scripture does. But certainly this crown of thorns added greatly to Jesus's pain and Jesus's shame. We assume that he wore this crown all the way through crucifixion. "Surely," said Isaiah, "he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed." And so Jesus submitted himself to the reign of King Death. Death, of course, who had been empowered by our sin, our rebellion, our refusal to listen to God and do things his way. The sin of the human race, which started with Adam's rebellion back in the garden. Just as God had said to him, if you will eat that fruit, you shall surely die. Launching, in Milton's words, a long day's dying to augment our pain. And that's been human history. King Death and his minions, disease, violence, evil, bearing down on humanity. And now on the cross, bearing down on Jesus's head, pushing him into the grave, suffering death, as the writer to the Hebrews says, suffering death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. He identified with us so completely in our pain and in our sin and in our dreadful destiny in the grave. He climbed right down into the pit where we are. He wore that crown for us. He wore that crown of thorns for us. But you know, that's not the only crown I want to talk about this morning. It's difficult on Good Friday because we have to almost suppress the urge to jump ahead in the story. But that's difficult to avoid because we have to acknowledge that Jesus no longer wears that crown of thorns. He wears a different crown. I quoted these words from Hebrews, those words from Hebrews. Let me share with you the whole verse. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. The writer says, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Crowned now with glory and honor, as he sits at the right hand of the Father on high. We have to wait to Easter Day to hear more about that. But do you see that because Jesus tasted death, King Death has been deposed? And the writer goes on to say this, which are words for our day right here and now. Since the children had flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. We are freed from the fear of death. How precious this verse is to us. How precious this verse is to us, particularly at this time when the reality of death has been suddenly and dramatically writ large in our world. Of course, death has always been there. Actually, nothing has changed. And for most of history, for most of the time, life, as one historian described it, has been pretty nasty, brutish, and short. But death has always been there. We've been cushioned from that so much in our society, where people have lived longer, where medical science have done amazing things. And perhaps when death does happen, it is often at a distance from us. It is removed from our own homes and our own places. And so now at this time, perhaps we see death more closely. Death has always been that reality. Plague and pestilence has always periodically stalked our planet. Everybody dies. Some sooner, some later. But on the cross, the power of death was broken. Because for the person who puts their trust in Jesus, death is not the end. Because our life is joined to Jesus, then death, when it comes, is just a shadow passing over us. It is, if you like, the dark waiting room. It's the lobby before we enter the presence of the Lord himself. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we should now welcome death or court death. It doesn't mean it's any easier when we're staring it in the face. Death is still a tragedy. Death is always a tragedy. It is an outrage. It is not what God created us for. And that is why when Jesus stood at the grave of his beloved friend Lazarus, he not only shed tears, his tears were hot tears. They were tears of anger. He was stirred up in anger because death had taken his friend away. He was enraged by its presence. Death leads to bereavement and separation of loved ones, sometimes, sadly, for eternity. Death is dreadful. But for the one who looks with the eye of faith to Jesus dying on the cross for us, we're freed from the slavery of fear of death. Because Jesus tasted death for us, none of us need fear death now. So here's a question for you, friend. Do you fear death? I don't ask, are you happy to leave your loved ones behind? I don't ask, are you ready to die? Have you had enough of this life? Of course not. None of us are. But do you fear death? Maybe you do because you have faith, but your faith falters somewhat. It's weak and failing. If that's the case, then look at Jesus. Look at Jesus wearing that crown of thorns for you now, for you on the cross. And then look at him now, wearing another crown, a crown of glory and honor. Read the promises that if you trust in him, you will go to be where he is now. But maybe there are people watching and listening this morning who actually still have every reason to fear death because you've never fully and finally put your trust in Jesus. You hold back for some reason, whatever it might be, you hold back. Maybe you're attracted by the comfort of it, but you don't want the commitment of following Jesus. I think that's probably quite common. And you chase other priorities, other distractions. Not actually wanting Jesus as your Lord. You'd quite like him as your Savior, but you don't want him as your Lord. Well, friend, if that is you, then I'm afraid to say you have every reason to fear death. If you don't accept Jesus' death for you, if you refuse to bow the knee and receive his life, then you will simply die your own death, which will lead to eternal separation from God and all that is good. There's a question here for us this morning. Who do you want to reign over you? King Death or King Jesus? It's one or the other. Which one do you want? Turn to him now. Bow your knee. Accept him as your Savior and your Lord. Because now Jesus wears another crown.
Thank you.
Now Jesus wears another crown. But you know what? That is not even the end of the story. Let me share again. That verse in Hebrews that we read actually follows a passage that refers to Psalm 8. It's a passage where the writer is bemoaning the fact that human beings have failed to fulfill the role that God has and reach the glory that God always created, that God created us for, that he always had in mind for us. That role of ruling over the earth in God's way, leading creation in God's plan to give him glory. As part of that, we were to be crowned with glory and honor. And then he says, Jesus is now crowned with glory and honor because he has fulfilled that role on our behalf. And he now leads the way at the head of a new humanity to carry out our calling and our destiny. The writer quotes that Psalm 8. It's about that glorious calling of human beings created to be crowned with glory and honor. We don't see human beings in that position now. We see exactly the opposite. We see us failing to lead creation in that way. But we do see Jesus. Jesus fulfills that psalm. He fills it full for us. And so gloriously, he promises that he will bestow crowns on those who trust him, those who follow him, those who stay faithful to him. He says this in the New Testament. He said it, the risen Lord Jesus said it to the church in Ephesus in Revelation. He says, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. They're about to be persecuted. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days, but be faithful even to the point of death. And I will give you life as your victor's crown. He will give us the crown of life. James 1 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And again, in 1 Peter 5, addressing church leaders, he says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. That will never fade away. What a glorious promise to those, all those who remain faithful, to those who love him, to those who persevere under trial. He wore that crown of thorns so that finally he could present us with his crown of life. And so we need not fear death. In fact, we can look forward to something wonderful. We can long for his coming again. We long to see him crowned with glory and honor, reigning forever. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we look at the cross this morning and we just fall at our knees and we say thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, not only did he come as one of us, but he went to the cross for us, shouldering our blame, the consequences, the curse of our sin. He died our death for us. Why did he do that? Well, I don't know, except that you love us. He loves us so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that he submitted to King Death. And as he submitted to King Death, actually, wonderfully, he pulled the rug from under his feet. And so now we can say, Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Lord, we know it's all very well to say those words. But we also know that that doesn't take away the pain, the sadness, the grief, the confusion, the anxiety, the hopelessness perhaps that people are feeling this morning. And so we want to pray particularly for all those staring death in the face today, one way or another. Perhaps they know loved ones who are struggling, suffering, who are very ill. Perhaps they know bereavement. Perhaps someone has been taken away from them in death. Lord, we pray for all those who are struggling, that you will draw near and you will help them remember Jesus of the scars, Jesus of the crown of thorns, who is now Jesus crowned with glory and honor. And we pray that you will come alongside and you will bring hope and you will bring comfort and you will bring even joy, Lord, to people's hearts. May all those who carry that burden, whatever burden it might mean, know that they can carry that burden to you and you will carry it for them. May they know that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Father, we pray for everyone this morning. We pray for our world in confusion and chaos, as it always is, actually, but that's just been highlighted for us in these last few weeks. I want to pray particularly for those countries who perhaps don't have the resources, don't have the health service that we do here, who places where it is very, very difficult to social distance. We pray for them, Lord, have mercy. And we pray for our own health service as it groans under the strain. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who serves, every brave person. Give them strength, give them energy, give them resources they didn't know they had, Lord, as they carry on that heroic work. For all who are caring in the community, Lord, for all who are seeking to do vital jobs for us, whether it's stacking cells or collecting the rubbish or whatever it might be, Lord, I pray that you will bring strength and help and hope. Father, I want to pray for our leaders. We pray particularly again for our Prime Minister. We thank you that there is good news of his recovery there. We pray that that will continue. But we pray for all of our leaders. We pray for humility. We pray for a fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. And we pray that perhaps in their confusion as to what to do, they will call out to you. And we do pray for help for them as they lead us. And Father, I want to pray for our fellowship. Thank you for every precious person that makes up Kennet Valley Free Church. I don't know how many are hearing us this morning, Lord, watching us, but I pray that each one will know a touch of your grace, a touch of your mercy, a touch of your glorious presence, lifting them up, reminding them that they are joined to Christ and there is nothing more precious. May your joy fill their hearts, Lord. I pray for any that are unwell or struggling. We pray for Mike Greensade. Lord, bring your rest, bring your respite, bring your healing, I pray. Pray for Jean, that you will give her strength and help at this time. Pray for those who are unwell with the virus, who have been unwell, who might have the virus. Pray for each one, Lord. I pray for those who are a long way from loved ones, for parents, perhaps elderly parents who we cannot go to at the moment. Lord, I pray that you will look after them. I pray for those who are often shut up with young children, Lord. Keep them sane, keep them rejoicing, give them great ideas and bless them, Lord, at this time. Father, I thank you that this too will pass. We look forward to the day when Jesus will return, when we see him crowned with glory and honor. And for those who have stayed faithful to him, he will give the crown of life, the crown of glory. And we will take our crowns and we will cast them at his feet as we spend eternity singing his praise. Amen. Let me read some verses from Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, just before we sing our final song this morning. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." And then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped.